You're listening to Mocha Macabre.
Welcome to Mocha Macabre, the place where ghost stories brew dark and the coffee stays hot. I'm your host, James from iMonster.com, and every week I serve you a fresh cup of the paranormal, real-life hauntings, eerie encounters, and the unexplained, all with a splash of cream in a latte to die for. So grab your favorite mug, settle in, and sip something sinister. This is Mocha Macabre. She thought a little getaway would help until she realized her Airbnb had a history of murders. These are real ghost stories submitted by you guys on Mocha Macabre. So forget the wine, bring the coffee, because the midnight hour is approaching soon and I want to get cozy. Yeah, let's get cozy. I have my cup of coffee here. So grab your cup of coffee and get a little cozy because it's about to get spooky. And I do want to say that this is the official first episode of Mocha Macabre, because the last episode was more of a test run. I was trying to figure out what to do. It didn't even have a name. So the fact that I'm actually calling it Mocha Macabre means that it's episode one. I know it's technically episode two, but it's episode one. So just bear with me. So welcome to episode one of Mocha Macabre. So today's episode is all about travel, because I actually write a travel blog and I love to travel, and there's a little bit of overlap between these topics because I love everything scary and everything travel related. So the fact that we're starting off with travel hauntings is kind of appropriate, I think. I mean, have you guys ever stayed in a hotel or an Airbnb, or just felt like there was something wrong where you were staying? But anyway, let's get to it, because story number one is about a haunted airplane. And you know what? This is the story I wrote. It's actually on my travel blog called Designing Life. Let me start off by saying that flying is the world's safest mode of transportation. Flying gets safer with each and every year that goes by. Planes get lighter and more efficient. Technology improves. The room for human error minimizes. In terms of travel, flying is the best and safest mode of transportation. However, in the past decades, this was not always the case. And that's where this story begins, with Eastern Airlines Flight 401. So use that as a disclaimer, because I don't want anybody freaking out that they don't want to travel, they don't want to get on a plane just because they heard this story. So, including myself, because, you know, landing is the scariest part for me. It honestly, I don't know what the physics of a plane, of a 3,000 bazillion bajillion ton plane, is like coming out of the sky and landing softly, but it boggles my brain. Anyway, so here it goes. On Friday, December 29th, 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 crashed into the Florida Everglades, causing 101 fatalities. All three pilots, two flight attendants, and many passengers died that day. This was the worst flight disaster in the United States at the time. So what went wrong on Eastern Airlines Flight 401? Well, let me tell you. As the plane approached Miami International Airport, the indicator light that tells the pilots that the nose of the plane is in the down position did not illuminate. Loft, one of the airline pilots, called the tower and requested a holding pattern until they figured out the issue. Repo, the co-pilot, walked to the aviation to figure out the situation. As the plane circled on autopilot, the plane began a descent so gradual the computers couldn't detect it. Even the crew members could not detect the gradual descent of the plane. A minute and a half later, the plane was at half its altitude. One of the pilots radios the other, who is trying to figure out the situation, and asks, We're still at 2,000 feet, right? 10 seconds later, the plane crashed. It turned out the indicator light didn't turn on because of a burned out light bulb. All three pilots died in the crash. Today, I'm happy to report that flying is the best and safest way to travel. I keep saying this because I don't want you freaked out. I don't want anybody freaked out. But yes, this is kind of scary. This is a fear that many people have, including myself, every time I get on a plane. However, for Eastern Airlines Flight 401, this was not the end. And this is where it starts to get paranormal. So, you know, the plane was destroyed during the crash, but mechanics did whatever they could to salvage any relevant and necessary parts. This practice is common among many expensive industries across the board. It's efficient and economical, so parts from Eastern Airlines 401 were recycled and used on other planes in the fleet. I mean, you know, why start from scratch? Why reinvent the wheel, right? The pilot, Bob Loft, and flight engineer Don Repo were two of the three pilots who died in the crash. However, pilots, flight officers, and even the VP of the airlines all reported seeing Bob Loft on one of their flights, and some say they even spoke to him before they recognized him. At one point, a female passenger asked about the quiet man in the uniform next to her. When the flight attendant arrived to ask this man a question, he disappeared in front of both of them. The inquiring woman went hysterical. A flight engineer also reported seeing Don Repo during his pre-flight inspection. Repo even talked to the engineer and assured him he had nothing to worry about. However, the spookiest occurrence happened when a flight attendant saw the face of Repo looking at her from inside of the oven in the galley. Freaked out, she grabbed the other flight attendants, who also saw him. At this point, Repo was reported warning the crew of a fire on this plane before disappearing. The most bizarre coincidence of the incident is that this galley consisted of recycled parts from Eastern Airlines Flight 401. So forget snakes on a plane. What about ghosts on a plane? Or demons on a plane? Oh my god. Now that's going to be a turbulent one, isn't there? So these sightings all happened on planes with recycled parts from Eastern Airlines Flight 401. Many more sightings continued to occur throughout the years, many of them by reputable sources and people that are legitimately like, not just, hey, pedestrian over there, what do you think of ghosts? It was like engineers, pilots, crew members, and you know, people who are not allowed to like be on drugs and fly a plane kind of thing. So pilots and crew members report many bizarre paranormal incidents that make amazing stories. However, seeing a ghost on a plane might make your flight as unforgettable as any nightmare. Ooh yes, I do love me a creepy tale, including one that's probably going to freak me out next time I get on a plane. But anyway, what do you guys think? Would you travel on a haunted flight? Let me know. And how's that cup of java treating you? The only thing I'm missing is cookies. I think I drink a lot of coffee because it's my excuse to drink more cookies to drink. I mean, eat. To eat more cookies. And pan dulce, because I'm Latino, you know, and I grew up on pan dulce, and I love it. And once again, I'm on my third cup of Joe. And I need to stop. It's a slippery slope, my friends. It's a slippery slope. Pretty soon, I'm at cup number 6, and I can't sleep. Well, we're not sleeping tonight anyway, because I have more scary stories for you guys. Continuing the theme of haunted travel, Reddit user Hiker2190 writes about his Airbnb that is haunted. And the most interesting thing is that I feel like when I travel, I mostly rent Airbnbs, but I feel like an Airbnb is a clean slate. But I guess that's my fault because I don't think about the history that goes down in this place. I mean, an Airbnb is basically just somebody's house, right? And you don't know who they are or what they've done. You don't know what their practices are, if they're, I don't know, conjuring up demons in the middle of the night before the Airbnb guests arrive. So I feel really disarmed by these next couple of stories, but they are very, very interesting. And this one kind of plays out a little bit like your typical haunted house, but it's a true story. And it's disarming because it can happen to anybody. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. So, coffee to the rescue.
So he writes, a few years back, I rented a house in Florida to visit my parents. I had my now ex-wife and two dogs with me. Because I don't like air conditioning, and because I stay up much later than my wife, I slept in the back room while she slept in the front bedroom. First night there, I was sitting on the couch in the living room watching something on my phone when I saw a dark shadow dart across the doorway leading to the bedrooms and bathrooms. Both dogs saw it as well. Second night, the same thing. Again, both dogs saw it. Third night, something jiggled my bedroom door handle rather violently. I jumped up and opened the door, expecting to see my wife. Went to her room and peeked in. She was fast asleep and snoring like a train. Went back to bed and closed the door. Before I was even settled in bed, the door handle began to jiggle again. And something was shaking the door. One of my dogs grunted, got up and laid back down directly in front of the door. The fourth night, again with the door handle jiggling and the door itself shaking. And I got up and checked everything and my wife was asleep. But this time, I closed the door, went and got in bed. The door and handle started shaking violently again, and then the door slammed open really hard. One dog was on the bed with me and the other was on the floor next to me. The one on the floor walked over and looked around the end of the bed at something and whined. The dog on the bed then got up and went to the end of the bed and looked down. My bed then started shaking violently, like three or four people were bouncing on it at once. I said, "Look, I know this is your house. We're only here for a few nights, and then you can have your house back. Do me a favor and stop this shit, please." The shaking stopped as soon as I said please, and nothing more was heard or seen or even experienced for the rest of our stay. I notified the owner slash manager of the house that it was haunted, but they never responded. Probably thought I was a kook. When I was planning my trip there again, I tried to stay at the same place, but it was not available. Okay, he had me at jiggling door handle. I don't think that if I ever saw something like that, I'm like, I'm out. Give me my money back. There was nobody on the other side. I don't know what's happening. Even if he had the AC on, the AC is not strong enough to jiggle a door handle. Like my AC, when I have my AC on in my house, I have sliding doors. So they actually push the door and my door moves. But it's not gonna jiggle a handle. Like, you know, if you had a typhoon in your room, okay, it'll jiggle the handle, but nope, that is too much for me. I cannot handle something like that. That is scary. But what would you guys do in a situation like that? Would you stay the entire length of your trip in this case? I don't know. Let me know. So I feel like having a ghost or a spirit or a demon is something, right? And that can be very scary, especially when they're moving things or manifesting themselves. That's pretty frightening. But this next story has a history of murders. So it kind of takes the ghosts and lets you know, hey, not only are we here, but it might happen to you. So this is a warning. Okay, let's get on with the next story. Reddit user LadyLovecraft89 writes, "Stayed in an apartment this past weekend. From the second I walked in, I had a strange feeling about the place. It was clean, not a lot of furniture, but everything was comfortable and practically new, clean sheets, etc. So nothing wrong with the apartment itself, just a very off feeling. I kept hearing a bell, like a hotel bell you push down on when you walk to the front desk. A very masculine, heavy energy as well, plus a lighter, softer energy, more feminine. Definitely kept the lights on that night. I kept hearing pacing in the hallway, and the place felt dark, even with the lights on. It also didn't heat up, not even with the heating on full blast. The bell kept bugging me. However, I decided to check if anything had happened in or around the building that could explain the off feeling and the different energy. I found three things. One was the son of a hotel owner who was murdered, not even a kilometer away from the building. Second was a mom of two who got killed by the father of her children. The children witnessed the entire thing. Third was a torture murder. All occurred within 2 kilometer radius of the place. There was also a courthouse right next door to the building. Definitely not staying in this place ever again. You know, I like to think of travel as an adventure. Every time I go somewhere, it's new memories. It's something to look back on. New adventures, right? But this, I don't know if my new adventure, if I want my new adventures to have murders or ghosts, children or demons or shadows darting from here to there. I think that's a little much for me. But it's fascinating, right? I think haunted places and haunted travel is appealing. I mean, I don't want to seek these places out, but I think that it's a very interesting experience. Have you ever stayed in an Airbnb, a hotel, or a place that might have been haunted? I would love to hear about it. Send me your ghost stories. Send me your written ghost stories, or if you have a video, like you caught something, send it to me. My email address is info@imonster.com. That's info@imonstre.com. info@imonster.com. I look forward to hearing your stories. So I'd like to say that Airbnbs are probably more haunted than hotels. So in this case, let's go to a hotel. But I know what you're thinking. I've seen way too many scary movies, and I know for a fact that that's not true. Hotels are equally haunted. So this next story talks about one couple on their honeymoon experiencing the unexpected. All right, let's get into it. 43 Night shows his story and says, "This happened to my wife and I about 20 years ago. When we got married, things were kind of tough, so instead of a European honeymoon like we always wanted, we settled for a trip to Niagara Falls. We stayed at the hotel on the American side near the falls. The day after our wedding, we arrived at the airport, and we had a layover in Chicago. Well, our flight was overbooked, so they bumped us up to a later flight, which meant that instead of arriving in the late afternoon, we arrived closer to late evening. By the time we arrived in Buffalo, got a rental car, and drove to our hotel, it was well after midnight. We got to our room somewhat exhausted. Our room was kind of cheesy honeymoon suite with the hot tub in the middle of the room. We never used it because we thought, ew, how many people have had sex in there? Anyway, we got into our room, put our belongings away. My wife went straight to her desired side of the bed and laid on her side, with her back towards me and the rest of the room. I heard her talking, so I poked my head out of the bathroom and said, "Who are you talking to?" She jumped up from the bed and said, "Didn't you just sit here?" "No, I was in the bathroom." She responded and said, "I felt you walk over to the bed and sit next to me." "You must be tired," I replied. "So maybe you fell asleep and dreamt it." With a pointed tone, she remarked, "No, I was lying here and you came and walked over." We both got up and put on our pajamas, and since we were so tired, we went straight to bed. I woke up a few hours later to her shaking me awake. At first, I was like, "Oh yeah, let's do it." What she said next startled me awake. "No, shut up. There's someone in our room." She's the type of person who has to sleep in total darkness, so I stumbled for the TV remote, phone, or lamp. I then turned on the bedside lamp and looked around the bathroom and under the bed, but there was no one there. "What did you hear?" I asked. I heard someone come out of the bathroom and walk over to my side of the bed. We eventually fell back asleep and got up the next morning to tour the falls. The next night, we fell asleep around midnight, only for both of us to be awakened by noises. She grabbed my arm and we both sat up. Looking into the darkness, we heard loud footsteps pacing around our room. Out loud, I said, "Hello?" Then I felt someone sit at the edge of our bed. I jumped up and turned on the light, and no one was there. Our door was locked and deadbolted from within, using the interior lock that hotel rooms typically have. No one was hiding in our room. We fell back asleep, only this time with the TV on, but muted. Just as we fell back asleep, we heard noises in the bathroom, like someone was in there, mostly footsteps, but louder. I grabbed our umbrella and was ready to beat whoever was in our bathroom, but it was empty. The next morning, I went to the front desk and said that our next door neighbors had been a little loud the past couple of nights. When I gave her my room number, she said we didn't have anyone next to us last night. Our room sat at the end of the hallway, and since it was a corner room, there was no one on the other side of us. That evening, we actually went to our room earlier than before, and we ate some cheese, fruit, crackers, with a bottle of wine, just enjoying our evening. As we got ready for bed, we were like, okay, TV on, hotel door locked and latched, bathroom door closed. And we didn't hear anyone next door at all. We fell asleep, and once again after midnight, we heard footsteps in our room. But this time, instead of jumping up, we sat there, listened, and made sure it wasn't coming from our room. But the footsteps were definitely in our room, right next to my side of the bed, and we can hear them walking what seemed like in circles. I whispered, "This is not from next door," as we both felt our bed go down as if someone just sat there. My wife yelled out, "Please leave us alone. We are on our honeymoon." And then we felt the bed go up again. We turned the TV off mute and watched reruns of Friends until we fell asleep with the TV noise playing. The next morning, I got up and asked my wife if she used the bathroom. But she said she wasn't going to leave the bed in the middle of the night with a ghost in the room. I said, "Well, someone opened the bathroom door." The next day, we went back to the lobby and asked them if we could switch rooms. They asked us why. My wife blurted out, the hotel room is haunted. I thought the lady was going to look at us like we were crazy, but all she said was, "Okay, I'll put you in room X." She even offered to have her stuff moved for us. We decided to move it ourselves. And that night, we got a good night's sleep without a pacing ghost to keep us awake. Wow. That is not something I want to experience. I mean, sometimes I get scared when there is a door open or if I leave my closet door open. That's enough. When I leave my restroom door open and I can kind of see something, but not really because the lights are off, that's enough to scare me. So that is not something I would ever want to experience. It seems like there is no safe place. Not an Airbnb, not a plane, not a hotel. Every place can have a haunting in it. I mean, I don't know. There's some pretty freaky stuff out there. Some pretty wild people doing rituals and whatnot. As a traveler myself, I do sometimes get scared. So that concludes the first official episode of Mocha Macabre. That's because the last episode didn't even have a name. So this is episode one. No, really, it is episode one. Thanks for sipping something sinister with me on Mocha Macabre. I'm your host, James, from iMonster.com. And if you enjoyed today's tale, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share the chills with a friend. If you want to submit your spooky ghost story, you can do so by email at info@imonster.com. That's info@imonster.com. Until next time, stay weird, stay caffeinated, and sleep with one eye open.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you dare.